Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Elizabeth Joyce, who is the author of The New Spiritual Chakras and How to Work with Them. Elizabeth is one of two sets of identical twins. She has been psychic since birth, and she is an astrologer, spiritual counselor, energy healer, clairvoyant, and has been featured on many venues, including TV's Unsolved Mysteries, Beyond Chance, and The Psychic Detectives. Elizabeth, I think I saw you on The Psychic Detectives, so I feel like I know you. Anyway, welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, this book is about spiritual chakras that are above the crown center and are involved with the energies of ascension. And it's pretty important stuff since we're in the midst of ascension right now.
Right. This book is about something called the etheric body, which I call the universal body. It's our double. It's what goes back to our soul pod when we drop the body. And to strengthen the spiritual body, which we also would call our blessed higher self, and be able to bring that energy into our physical body is going to raise our consciousness. Very exciting.
So is this the body that one would bilocate in?
Yes, it is. It's the body one would bilocate in, astral travel in, and experience your out-of-body experiences. And when you are having a near-death experience, it is the body that reaches towards the light.
And then comes back down. Not quite ready to stay there.
If you're ready to go, yes, absolutely. With hopefully newer wisdom. This is going to take a long time to develop. This is not something that is going to happen overnight. This is not McDonald's.
Right.
These are the chakras that the old yogis used to meditate with in the mountains and caves of Tibet. When they would choose to have a life of just eating rice and meditation, they would work with the spiritual chakras. And they were kept secret for a long time. But with the events of what happened on December 21st, 2012, this energy is called the double helix, has now been released for our use. It's not only been released for our use with the chakras, but it's been released for use throughout science and the universe as well.
Well, can you describe the system and where it's located?
Yes. The eighth chakra is above the crown chakra. And that introduces you to the spiritual body. The eighth chakra is a quartz color, so it's kind of clear. And it brings in compassion. It brings in spiritual skills as well as telepathy. And this is the chakra that, as it opens, begins to show you that what is needed from the soul is self-service. So service for mankind would become a desire as the eighth chakra opens. Then we go to the eight and a half chakra, which is behind the baby bump in the back of your head. And that is a filter. It's like a screen. And it does have wonderful guides around it, making sure that that color amber, which is the new color of the fifth dimension, doesn't come in too fast into the fourth level of the aura. Are you aware that we have a new level to the aura?
No, I wasn't.
We have a new level. We've had three. Now we have the fourth, and that is, of course, the spiritual body joining in with our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual levels of the aura. The fourth level brings in the energies of the fifth dimension, and it's very carefully washed so that it doesn't come down too fast and burn you out. So it's there, and it opens and comes to you as needed, as you ascend and develop. The ninth chakra is in back of the head between the two occipital bones where the brain and the spine join together. And the ninth chakra is a very powerful chakra. The color is red. It's not red. It's more magenta. And this is the chakra that holds some very important spiritual attributes. It holds your Akashic records. It holds your soul imprint. and your karma. So as this opens, not only will you be able to adapt and use what you've experienced in a past life and all the learning that you've ever had, but you will become more telepathic, and you will be able to use your spiritual skills in a higher manner. This also creates a fabulous joining up with the third eye, because as the ninth chakra opens, a laser light goes through the brain, through the pineal and pituitary glands, and out through the third eye, the sixth chakra. And as that light comes out through the third eye, if people take their right hand and do a vibration in front of their third eye, you can start to feel that power come in, and that is going to give you healing. That's going to be the new point of power. The other point of power has been through our hands as we've done energy healing, but with this new one, it's going to be even more of an X-ray, and it's going to bring us more healing techniques and spiritual power. So that's very exciting.
That is. There was information about healing through the third eye that masters did, including, I think, Jesus did that.
Yes, yes. When the two eyes come together as one, then you shall heal. Right. And it's very exciting because this is new stuff. Then you have the 11th, the 10th chakra, which is above the 8th chakra. And the 10th chakra, is the heart center, the new heart center. The color is amber. And what it will do is open up you to higher levels of ascension. What I've been doing with the 10th chakra is creating an arc from the 10th chakra to my physical chakra, which is now yellow. It is no longer green. The green has dropped down to the solar plexus, and the yellow has come up to the heart center. And the heart center is joining with the 10th chakra. And what that does is it brings you a wonderful state of bliss and love. You can't believe it when those two are flowing. You create a circle of light from the 10th to the 4th to the 10th to the 4th. And in that circle of light, you can work with forgiveness. You can work with working with other people. You can work with tangible things and create a new reality for yourself. The 11th chakra is aqua, and that is the mother energies, the supporting energies, the caring energies, the mother energies. And the 12th chakra is the diamond, and that is the dwelling place of the masters. So there they are.
So what are some of the qualities when you reach the 12th chakra?
You don't reach the 12th chakra. I don't think we will for 100 years.
But really?
Our advanced spiritual skills, the teleportation by location, and it's the home of the Father. It's truly an avatar. You would become what would be considered an avatar. But I don't see that happening to the general public for years and years and years. It's there. We know it's there. We can bring the energy down for a brief time, but we just can't hold it. We're not made to hold it.
So what do you recommend that people do now in order to take advantage of this, these new spiritual chakras? How do they work with them?
I think that they should start to meditate. I have created a wonderful meditation on my website, which is new-visions.com. I have created the meditation to open the 8th and the 9th chakra. I've also created something called an invocation. Now, Alice Bailey created invocation in the 1930s. I'm sure you know that one from the point of
life.
Now there's a new one, and it is in this book, The New Chakras. And it is asking to at least be put into balance with both sets of chakras, with your etheric body and your physical body. And the invocation it's just beautiful. The music of Richard Schulman is behind it. And, of course, he is a fabulous musician, and everybody loves Richard. He wrote Ascension. Do you know that music? And Ascension. He did both.
I'm not familiar with that. I'll have to listen to it.
Yeah, he's a close friend of mine. So we created the new meditation and invocation. And you can begin to work with those, but I don't think you really should until you read Ascension Accessing the Fifth Dimension, which brings you knowledge of how we ascend and what to look for. And then also, as you read that book, number one, you process. And at number two, you're going to know where you're at, in which dimension. And then read the new chakra so that you'll understand what you're doing. Because you have to learn before you do, I think.
True. And what is the name of that book again?
Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension.
Okay.
That's the book to read first, because that explains everything. It explains all three dimensions and how to recognize where you are in them. It also tells you about the future and what's coming and what to do and how to develop yourself. We're going into a physical and non-physical interface. And over the next 30 years, you're going to see amazing growth with spiritual people and amazing healings and all kinds of new things.
I had a example this week of something that was kind of odd. On Sermo, which is a doctor's website, one of the doctors described a buzzing sensation deep inside the abdomen.
Yep.
But of course, nobody there. I did comment that it was a chakra spinning, and they should look up Kundalini energy. And I had one person say that they liked that comment, but I think it went over everybody else's head. I don't think they realized that is really what that is.
Well, what it is a connection to a new God spirit energy. It's inner vision. You'll start receiving messages from spiritual guidance, communication, and the physical body and the life force energy joining together. So the doctor must be very open. That's wonderful. I have it listed in both Ascension, and I think it's in the new spiritual chakras. I have listed what I call the fifth dimension diseases, like divine headaches and all kinds of upsets that mean that you're shifting into the fifth dimension.
Yeah, there. Yogi Bhajan, who I saw that you studied with,
yes,
said
I did.
That during ascension there would be a lot of psychiatric and neurological symptoms.
Correct.
Because it does affect the nervous system. A lot of people, I had a patient who was jerking uncontrollably and like it was dangerous when he was driving, and all we did was just do some healing for him, and then that went away pretty easily. But before he came to me, he got $10,000 worth of unnecessary normal testing at the neurologist.
On page 22,
that's driving up healthcare.
On page 22, I have the symptoms of fifth dimension energy shifts, and one of them is flu-like symptoms.
Yeah, I don't know if I caught a virus from my patient or if I'm having, I might be having flu-like symptoms from the, you know, from ascending. I'm not sure. I can't tell the difference.
Well, you know, you just wait it out. If it's 24 hours, it's more than likely your fifth dimension than if it's any longer than that.
Yeah.
I do have all of that in here. And there are
headaches.
Things that you can do. Headaches, yeah, I get them too. And I know I just start working my jaw, and then I start massaging the back of my neck for the ninth chakra. I do it in a circle, clockwise. Mm-hmm. I massage the back of my neck, and that eases it a lot.
So what else did Yogi Bhajan tell you about the ascension? Did he talk about that when you were studying with him?
Yes, he did. He talked about it to me privately as well as publicly, but he did teach us that it's the breath and that we were going to be working with what he called the universal body, and he did not want us to call it the etheric body. He wanted us to call it the universal body so mm-hmm. that we would all understand what it really is. And this is the body that can travel through time, through space, through universes. You can go anywhere. I've been doing it since I was a young kid. You know, back when I grew up, it was a while ago in the 50s. They didn't have the VCRs and the movies and all this. And I would go in my bedroom and lie down on the bed and close my eyes and nod my head, and I could go anywhere I wanted in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I went into past lives because I used to dance in red silk with the, you know, the castanets and the bells and everything. And I would feel myself doing that. So that must have been one of my past lives.
Right. Yeah, traveling through time and traveling into other dimensions, traveling anywhere that we need to travel is one of the things that I think will be more able to be done once these chakras are open.
Well, I went to Egypt in 1996 with the Shore Foundation and the Association of Research and Enlightenment, and we mm-hmm. talked about the ability for levitation and the ability for us to move through the air the way birds do, but not quite as fast, that we were going to be able to move our bodies with a certain alignment and certain way of thinking and propelling. I also learned something else. You know, the angels, we think, have wings, but I was told that angels really don't have wings, that what we are seeing is the energy in a circle bring them down, which looks like flapping wings to us. Mm-hmm. I thought that was fascinating.
That is, yeah.
On the back of this book, The New Spiritual Chakras and How to Work with Them, I have a chart in color with the new color of all the chakras, and it does show the sutras, and it does show what it's going to bring. And it shows what they're ruled by, because each chakra is ruled by an astrological sign, except mm-hmm. for the 8.5 chakra, which is ruled by Einstein's theory, E equals MC squared. Mm-hmm. And all the rest of them are astrological. And they came to me through dreams and through actions with my hands. But in this book, there's wonderful diagrams explaining each chakra one by one. And then I also have a picture of the connection between the pineal and the pituitary, where the ninth chakra opens and where the power center is. The power center, which is in front of your third eye, is called Ascension Awareness Center. So I think that we're on the road to great, wonderful new things. I also feel that this is going to lead to fabulous medical discoveries.
Well, we certainly could use that.
We certainly could. We certainly could. Wouldn't it be wonderful to just lay somebody with muscular dystrophy on a body table, work on him for 15 minutes and have his body be straight and centered and be able to... I mean, it's incredible. I've come close. I've come close to that. One 15-year-old came over recently and I worked on his body. He had muscular dystrophy and he could feel his legs straightening out, but he couldn't hold it. Could only hold it for about a half an hour, and then it went away. And that we have to figure out. That has something to do with the subconscious and clearing out the subconscious.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Well, muscular dystrophy is genetic, so it's something that was probably brought in
doesn't
from past
matter.
Lives.
It doesn't matter, because you can erase the genetics and change them with this energy. Genetics doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, there's 8 more strands of DNA. We have 12 strands, so there's really 10 more, that are going to be opening up. And I have a theory that our autistic children are carrying these extra strands of DNA and are so sensitive with their nervous system that it's hard for them to communicate with us on this low level. And that when this energy starts to rise, they're going to be incredible people.
That would be wonderful.
Well, I think that is true.
So, what is the story of the unfoldment of the DNA? How does that occur?
I don't know. All I can say is electrically and energetically. Mm-hmm. I'm not the one creating it. I'm the one bringing in the energy for it. So what happens, you can't buy it. It happens, I call them dimensional energies. Mm-hmm. And the dimension energies can be transferred and downloaded by healers to their clients. And this stimulates the brain and it sends messages to the body for healing. I was taught a long, long time ago by a Tibetan teacher that if you visualize yourself in alignment with your universal body, you will not be at dis-ease.
So well, that's how Jesus did healing. you know, I and my father are one, and then he brought the energy down to the person he was healing.
But the person that he was healing that received the energy had to be able to hold it. And I
right.
would like to know what happened to all these people a year later, because there are people that I have worked with that a year later will start to go back to their old ways again.
And yeah, that's kind of common
subconscious
with healing.
You say that's common with healing.
Yeah, it is. It's common to have patterns reform.
Well, they do
like
reform.
For cancer healings, it's very common for cancers to shrink or go away completely. But if you don't treat the cause of the cancer, it comes back.
And the cause is always mental, emotional.
Well, sometimes it's generational curse. So, you know, you gotta deal with that.
There's no such thing as a generational curse. There's no such thing. There is no such thing.
Well.
There isn't.
Okay.
Period. End of statement. But I will say that it does have to do with, if you think it, you create it. And whatever is in your thought consciousness is mm-hmm. what creates your discomfort or comfort and joy. And us humans, we're pretty hard on ourselves. We can certainly bring in a pattern from our past lives and from our generations of being negative or of being positive. And if we don't grow in our awareness of our thought processes, then we will recreate our discomfort to harmonize with the thought process.
I had a patient not too long ago. She was 33, had stage 4 cancer, breast cancer. None of her parents' generation had cancer, but 5 of her cousins, and these people didn't grow up in the same place. In fact, she had grown up in South America, and all 5 of them had breast cancer. And I used applied kinesiology or muscle testing to determine the cause of her cancer, and we went through everything, went through emotional, toxic chemical, geopathic stress, you know, all the infectious type things, anything that can decrease the energy of the breast, radiation, electromagnetic. And the only thing she tested for was generational curse. So that's why I think there might be a generational curse involved with her, because it was the only thing she tested
for. No such thing as a generational curse.
Well,
I have
she muscle tested for it. It must be something similar to that then. It must be some energy coming in from outside this third dimensional world we live in.
Well, that could be, but that doesn't make it a generational curse. I have a list of 145 emotions. And when I work with people, I test to find out what they're out on that day. For example, dependency on a man, jealousy, anger, and whatever. And then you have to go back to whatever lifetime you first experienced that emotion. And you mm-hmm. have to relive it in a sense, or sit in a theater and watch what happened. And once you do, and you change history, it's gone off the body.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true if it's emotional.
Well,
what if it's toxic chemical or geopathic stress? I mean, if it's geopathic stress, they need to get off the geopathic stress line.
That's correct. But toxic chemicals and geopathic stress are a trigger to something that's inside of you that will open up only if you have those emotions going on.
Well,
3 people can work through toxins and 2 will get sick and the other one won't.
True. It's just whatever lowers the energy of the organ. That's
correct.
That's what causes the cancer.
It's awfully hard. It's awfully hard for us to understand or to comprehend at this point, and it's awfully hard for us to get rid of it completely. But that's why we have the new spiritual chakras, because there's mm-hmm. all kinds of new awareness coming in. There's all kinds of new thoughts, new affirmations. And we're becoming multidimensional beings in our consciousness, in our thinking, and in our reality. And we do not really understand what we're capable of. And our physical body also is in harmony with other people. So if we're not in a good marriage, that can create sickness. You know that. If we're not mm-hmm. working with a boss that we like, and we were going around saying, I don't like, I can't stand, I wish it was different, you're going to create a disharmony inside yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's awfully hard to bless everything that isn't going our way. It's very hard to understand that a person is in your life to teach you something more than to hurt you or harm you.
Well, we have to get out of victim mentality then.
That's right. That's a good one. I like that one. I do believe that through genetics, some people are born with a conglomeration of the negativity, and some people are born without it, and therefore one is going to be happier than the other. I know I had that with my identical twin. My identical twin was negative, and she could be hurtful, and she did not have any comprehension of spiritual awareness or spiritual growth. And it was very interesting and sad to watch that.
That's interesting. In an identical twin, you would think that there'd be more harmony in the, you know, in terms of the spiritual and emotional, or it'd be more similar.
I wrote a letter to the Twin Research Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I asked them about that, and of course they didn't really have an answer, but I asked them if they had ever heard of detwinning, that I think that some twins are born in life to separate, and then it's their final lifetime as a twin. And I also said, who has studied the second set of identical twins in a family? It's very, very, very rare.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Right. So you have the first set of identical twins that are complementary. They have their own language. They love each other. They do everything together. They dress alike. They love it. Then you have the second set, who not only is in competition with each other, but they're in competition with the first set. And that throws off all kinds of problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine that would be true.
Yeah, it was.
Do you know if the second set of identical twins has occurred before?
I'm the second set.
Has it occurred in other families? Has that even happened?
I think it's one in a million. It has
it's
happened.
Not very common.
Not very common, no. Fraternal twins, yes, but not identical.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's also if they're taking fertility drugs, you can have fraternal twins easily.
Then.
Yeah.
They're fertility drugs. They weren't invented yet.
But identical's different. Identical isn't increased by fertility drugs, I don't think.
No, identical twins is a split of the egg into two different bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very interesting, and both of them grow. And, of course, they're just about have the same astrological chart, but not exactly because of the time of birth. Now, my older sisters, who were in harmony and very close to each other, were born 2 minutes apart. But my twin and I were born 20 minutes apart.
Right.
So, astrologically, it made a big difference.
Hmm. So, what do you think the lessons were for you in being a twin in this circumstance?
To overcome adversity.
Yeah.
And to learn how to do that. It was not easy.
Right.
That's funny. Lots of karma there.
Well, I was a RH baby, and I was the first total body transfusion at the University of Maryland. At the time, it was experimental.
Uh-huh.
And my parents were told 3 times during the first 2 weeks that I wouldn't live through the night. And then when I went to interview at the University of Maryland, the guy interviewing me said, I know you're not going to come here because I see all these other schools you got into, but I'm the pediatrician that saved your life.
Oh, neat. So did you go there?
Isn't that a neat synchronicity? Yeah. Yeah. I got to meet him.
You were supposed to do that. That's really neat.
Yeah, it was. I owed him my life, definitely.
And you did very well. You've done some great work, Dr. Culp. You really have.
Yeah. Well, a lot of healers have, you know, great challenges when they come in.
Oh, please. You know, when I wrote Ascension, I thought I would die. I lost everything. Everything. Everything was taken away from me that was physical. Everything. And I couldn't believe it. I even lost 2 sisters. I lost 2 of my children that I had brought up. They weren't mine, but they were foster children. And I lost, I mean, there were money issues, there were housing issues, there was everything. I went through every test there was just about, and I kept writing that book. I wrote
it. And what year was that?
2010, 2011.
Oh, my, recently.
Yeah, it was recently. But, yeah. Of course, this was the step upward to go to ascension. You can't ascend without having some kind of problem and losses because you have to learn how to surrender.
Right.
And when you learn how to surrender and you truly, truly let it all go, it is replaced, but it isn't replaced like McDonald's. It's replaced slowly and in order to open your heart and have new growth and new consciousness. And that is how it has to happen with everyone. And everyone has their own personal way of letting go, not wanting something that isn't yours. Remember, if you love somebody and they don't return your love and you say you've lost love, you have not lost love because you never had it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
This is hard for people to understand.
But that's true.
When you work with them and you reverse their mood and you bring it up from, you know, I don't want to live anymore, or I'm disenchanted, up to harmony, and this is what you can do to make your life better, and learn how to bring the energies in, learn how to help others, learn how to visualize, and whatever is yours will manifest for you. Whatever is yours, whatever isn't yours, isn't supposed to be.
Right.
It's hard to live that way because we're not used to that in this country.
So what do you see happening in the next 20 or 30 years?
Well, we got to go through this ugliness of 6 years from 2017 to 2025. We're going to have to go through some pretty tough times. And I do feel that whatever it is going to bring us to a higher level of consciousness. And I think we have to change some of our thinking and some of these thought processes that bring in doom and gloom.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't see doom and gloom, you won't experience doom and gloom. I know that that's hard to believe, but it's true. And it's also hard to believe that everything that happens to you happens from within. The energy happens before the action. I'll give you an example. If you take all the baseball teams that start to play in April, the second game, the World Series is determined.
Really?
And it has to do with the energetic combination of the teams. And I have proved it over and over and over again.
So you read the energy.
The energy happens before the action.
Right.
Okay. So the energy comes together for the success before you have the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 2004 that Boston won the World Series in four games.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it up on my website September 1st, Boston in four.
Mm-hmm.
And George Bush said that it would be so rare for them to do it that if they did, he'd resign from the presidency. And I wrote him a letter and asked him to. That was a joke, of course, but it was what I did. It's like, yeah. I knew War Emblem was going to win the Kentucky Derby, but I knew he wasn't going to win the Triple Crown. I knew it. And he didn't.
Yeah.
Time my son, I think it was in 05 or 06, my son asked me, who's going to win the World Series, the Yankees or Atlanta? And I said, the Yankees are going to win the World Series in the fifth game in the third inning.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was in Dallas during the beginning of the fifth game in a restaurant, and I was kidding the waiter. And I said, they're going to win tonight. And he said, oh, no, they're not, because they're going to go seven games because they like the money. And, of course, they won in the third inning.
Mm-hmm.
So the next time I went back there for dinner and he was scratching his head and he said, how did you know that? Honey.
Well, one time my roommate was watching the game and it looked like Atlanta was going to win. It was the Braves. It really looked like they were going to. You probably know the year. And he passed me and he says, The Braves are going to win this one. And I looked at him and I said, no, they aren't. And then he got really mad at me. But I didn't do anything. I was just reading the energy, too. And they didn't. They screwed it up at the end.
Yeah, people do get mad sometimes when you tell them what the outcome is going to be. And my reputation is this, that first I do have a reputation for being accurate with my readings, and I'm thrilled about that. But the second mm-hmm. thing is Elizabeth will tell you what's true. She will not tell you what you want to hear. She will tell you what's true. Because it's hard for people to really have to clean it up. And it's 50-50. Of course, Louise Hay teaches that. Anything that happens, you're half responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take responsibility. People don't want to. You know, that really started at the end of the 19th century, where we were at the end of the 20th century, 1900s, when we had to really learn how to take responsibility for what we said and did. And we mm-hmm. have to. But people still don't. You know, they don't want to say, I'm sorry. They don't want to say they were wrong. And they don't want to say they've made a mistake. They want to blame everybody else.
That's true.
So consciousness is changing, thank goodness.
Yeah. I think the energy coming in is helping to change people, too. I think that there's a new energy coming in that can help people not be victims.
This energy is called double helix. And it is absolutely pure.
Mm-hmm.
It's universal light. It helps develop the body. It's going to bring us new programs, new massive worldwide energy that is going to be so helpful in the long run. And we don't have to compete with people anymore and hate people and be jealous. All those things can be eliminated when we learn that we're co-creators with God.
Yeah, there'll probably be some aid, too, with energy systems that aren't so dependent on oil and natural gas.
That's already started.
That would help a lot.
That's already started, both in medicine and in transportation. The medical are going to learn more about the electrical energy, the E equals MC squared, that everything is energy, and if everything is energy, then we can do anything. There's unlimited possibilities. The trouble is that our belief system stops us. That's the emotional body. And the emotional body affects the physical body. And back when Wilhelm Reich and Sigmund Freud were doctors, they would say emotions can kill or cure, but they didn't really understand it. So now we have taken the next step into this wonderful understanding of energy.
Yeah, but we still have a lot further to go with electrical medicine. It's not there yet.
No, but at least it's on its way. At least it exists.
Yeah.
The power of our thoughts along with the power of adjustment does exist. I think one of the inroads that we've had is working with magnetics and what magnetic energy is.
Mm-hmm.
And also learning that you can help the physical body with the light that we can generate as a healer, or the light that is invisible.
Yeah, we just have to get insurance to pay for it, though. That's a problem.
But I think that is part of what is called the Holy Ghost. This energy, and the energy is placed in certain ways to develop us.
Yeah.
A lot of this is explained in my book.
Yes, it is. The new spiritual chakras and how to work with them.
Let me give you a little bit of the invocation. Could I read just a part of it?
Please do.
To unify the entire chakra unit, which is now 12 chakras, I breathe in universal light through the center of my heart, opening my heart chakra into a beautiful ball of yellow gold light, allowing my blessed higher self, my universal body, to expand throughout my aura. I breathe in universal light through the center of my heart chakra, allowing the light to expand, encompassing my throat chakra and my solar plexus chakra in one unified field of light of green, yellow, gold, and blue within, through, and around my body to expand throughout my aura. That's just the beginning of how this goes. And then finally, you say, I breathe in the universal light through the center of my heart chakra. I ask that the highest level of my spirit radiate forth from my center, the fourth and the tenth chakras. That's the two heart centers. Filling this unified field completely, I radiate forth through this day. I am one with the universal light. I live with the universal light. I love within the universal light. I walk within the universal light. I am sustained and nourished by the universal light. I am, I am, I am.
That's great.
And as I said, I have recorded it with Richard's music behind it. And, I mean, it'll rock you. People that listen to it sometimes are dizzy for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Because it really does penetrate, which is great.
It's wonderful. Would you like to give your contact information again?
Sure. My website is www.new-visions.com, and I have a 24-hour answering service, which is 201-934-8986. And you can leave a message there with your phone number and email if possible, and we'll get back to you.
Great. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Would you care to give our listening audience an inspirational message?
I sure would. Let me just get to where I want to get. I want to give you something that I created as I was writing Ascension. And I got to the end of Ascension, and I literally knocked my head against a wall a couple of days because I didn't know how to end it. I didn't know how to end this book. I had just finished writing The Connection to Atlantis and how we were all connected to Atlantis. And this is what came. And this came to me as I finished this book in 2010. And the name of it is Beyond 2012. God is the foundation of health, prosperity, wisdom, and eternal joy. We make our life fulfilled and complete when we have daily contact with God. Take the time. Give your attention to the almighty power that is giving you life, strength, and wisdom. Pray that unceasing truth flows into your mind, unceasing strength flow into your body, unceasing joy fill your soul. Take a deep breath. Feel the Shakti energy filling you through the crown chakra and flow through your entire being. Become one with the spiritual energies of your blessed higher self. Know your strength, know your path, and walk it as a son or daughter of God.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. That was before I knew about the spiritual chakras.
Right.
So it was pretty powerful.
It was. Well, do you have any anything else you'd like to share with the audience before we sign off?
I just want you to know that I have written 8 books and that the Ascension and the New Spiritual Chakras were my latest ones. My first book is called Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? And really is my bestseller. And that tells you all about entities, low-level energies, how they try to take you over, and what you can do to be free of them. And they have wonderful exercises in that book. Also, I put all of my classes that I've been teaching for the last 30 years into 3 books called Opening to Your Universal Energy, Opening to Your Intuition and Psychic Sensitivity. And there's 3 books. Book 1 is great for teenagers or great for people that are just opening up to these ideas. Book 2 takes you further. And book 3 is really fabulous. All of them have exercises and they teach you how to establish your own personal spiritual practice. And then the last book that I absolutely love and adore was one I wrote in 2014 and it's called Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul. And I feel it should be in every church and by every bedside in the world.
Sounds great.
So that's my history.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been very educational, and I'm learned a lot about the new spiritual chakras, and I plan to work with them.
Well, good. And if you ever want to come to I'm going to start teaching people how to do this. I do have an intensive coming up in June 4th and 5th, where you can come and experience and meditate and try to get them open and learn how to work with them. So I am going to be teaching that all over the country, hopefully, over the next year or so.
So that should be on your website.
It is.
Good, good. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We have been speaking with Elizabeth Joyce. Her latest book, The New Spiritual Chakras and How to Work with Them, is a wonderful guide to the structure of the ascension chakras, and with great exercises and explanations and even things that you can do if you're having physical symptoms. So thank you very much, Elizabeth. I appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure.
This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.